Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Glad you're with us. Final hour is here. Coming up, we will chat about what's the next unintended consequence of NIL, the next big one. Because I think we've seen a few already play out. We'll give some thoughts and opinion on that. Headlines out there, guys. Gruden has a big victory in court because the court refused to throw out the NFL's argument that his lawsuit against the league should be, you know, expunged. It's going to move forward. That's a big victory for Gruden, who claims that they leaked everything to get him out.
Yeah. Well, he's right. I mean, what he can prove and what's, you know, going to hold up in court are two different things. But John Gruden was sabotaged by someone who does not like him. I think it's pretty clear is what happened. So I'm interested to see where this goes. I honestly thought that it would just get thrown out before it got to this point. So this is a big step in the right direction for John Gruden to win something against the NFL. Because I thought, you know, with the NFL's ability to lawyer up as well as anyone else out there, that they were going to throw enough holes in this thing that it was never going to get to trial or get to, you know, see possible money for John Gruden, which may not be the case.
Yeah, and it reads, Paul, that he claims that the NFL leaked emails in a, quote, malicious campaign to get him fired.
I mean, I think he's probably got a good case there. It's good that he wasn't big-footed out. The only question is, was it the NFL that leaked them?
Right.
Or was it the Commanders who leaked them?
Well, the suit is against the league. But I guess if you sue a team, are you suing the league?
Well, or the other way, if you sue the league, are you suing its
teams?
Its member teams. I would think the latter is probably true.
But, if you want to sue the Commanders,
I think
do you also have to sue the Titans?
No. I think you could sue the Commanders individually. But I think if you're suing the league, you're suing the league, and the league is
I think it would be really smart to sue both the Commanders and the league because in doing so, you would get one or the other to roll over on the other. So you're exposing the rat, right? You want to get the rat out in the light. And how you do it is neither one of those sides are going to want to pay up the money that he's going to get paid. So you say, well, I know it was this guy with the commander, so there you go. Suing them.
You know who's a flying rat? A pigeon, a falcon, or a bat.
That's true.
Take a shot at your bad movie.
Well, let's just go to I thought you were talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Just sue all of them.
No.
Falcons, any rat with wings. Let's put that out there. Paul, you hated the Batman.
I did not love that element of it where it took him that long to process that every single character in the movie could have been a rat with wings, which was one of the big plot.
I don't even remember that part of it.
No.
Your ability to take like
one little small bit of the clue.
They go, oh, we have to find the Riddler's last clue was it's a rat with wings, like the stool pigeon. Oh, the stool pigeon. Well, it could be the penguin. That's a bird with wings. Could be the falcon, the guy named Falcone. He's a rat with wings. Oh, it could be Batman. Bat is a rat with wings.
Well,
and that was 45 minutes of the movie lost.
It took them 45 minutes to figure that out? I really don't even remember that.
You're amazed that I spent that much time with it. I'm amazed that you glossed right through it.
I don't remember them trying to figure out for 45 minutes if it was a rat, what the rat with wings was.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being a big plot.
It was a big piece.
I remember them being in the – spoiler alert. Them being in the apartment at some point and talking about it.
After we spoil it, then we warn you. That's how we roll.
Before he dies.
I enjoyed the film. I enjoyed it.
Omar Khan is the new general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is pretty funny that – I don't think anyone's surprised that Omar Khan is, but they did a pretty extensive search that went well out of their
11 or 12 interviews.
But they
right?
find their new GM and their new quarterback in their physical building because they share a building with Pitt, who practices, you know, out the. They're it's like neighbors. They have a fence and their two practice fields. They have a facility, you know. Kenny Pickett was talking about, I always imagine what it would be like to walk through that other door. And Omar Khan has been working in their front office for some time. So they needed a GM and a quarterback, and they got two Pittsburghers who literally were working in their building. And now they've hired an assistant GM, a very well-respected guy from Philadelphia, who was previously with the Steelers.
And Colbert is staying on in some role,
right? Some kind of
advisory capacity. So the structure is still there for, you know,
this is no big
change. They're building.
No,
right?
No big change. He's a good cap guy too, Con.
Yes,
you know that's his primary background, but supposed to be a good evaluator as well.
And think it, so. All of the talk, and I didn't link up this part of it. I'm just thinking of it now. But it all of the talk about what will Kevin Colbert do to set up the future of the Steelers in his final draft? The dude that's taking over is in the same room with him, right? Like,
yeah,
you draft Kenny Pickett for as much as what Omar Khan wants, if you're going that direction. But again, like, they know him so well.
He had a voice in the process.
Tomlin's in there, you know, like, exactly.
Yeah, you ultimately set up the guy who's taking that job mm-hmm. with a guy he wants that you mutually agree upon. So it's the best of all worlds. Instead of drafting the quarterback that you find out later they didn't want, the new guy they hire from Arizona or wherever.
Like what has just happened with Justin Fields in Chicago?
Yes.
You know, right. New regime there all of a sudden.
And you have no idea how they feel about him, but how they drafted suggests he's not their priority.
Paul, there is a new streaming service coming from the league, NFL Plus. But, you know, to me, like surface, if you told me, say, list details of what this is going to be about, it doesn't sound like it's going to be all that flashy.
No, Sports Business Journal reported that there's a go-ahead out of the owners' meetings that just, I think, concluded in Atlanta. But it really replaces whatever Verizon or T-Mobile or whoever had it. And there's not much to it. I did a Fox News rundown that'll run this week that I think you're better off saving your $5 a month to go get half a hot dog at the next game you attend.
Is Red Zone on there? Because Verizon had that.
No, what you
see,
get
that's one
are
of the first
in,
things
see,
I would
pay
say.
For it for Red Zone. Right. I've never had Red Zone. As a DirecTV subscriber, I've never had the ability to
get
Red Zone.
In-market games. So you get what's available on your TV. Okay, now I can't get CBS on my phone outside of my Wi-Fi signal, right? So if I'm at Nissan Stadium and I want to tune into the game that's on CBS through my cable on my phone, I can't. I have to be on my Wi-Fi signal to get it. So it would give me that. But how excited am I to pay for that again, which I'm already paying for at home?
So if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can and your team is playing.
In-market games you get it. But I don't know if you get that in-market game if you're on the road. You get the in-market games on the road
that,
if you're out of town.
For that area.
That market. And then some radios, some podcasts, and some special stuff from team websites. That does not sound like and the pricing is not set for sure. It's estimated to be around $5 a month. Does not sound like a major get to me at a time where people are not wild about more streaming services. Most people are stripping down.
Well, it feels like it's just a place
rushed,
but it is a way that
right?
you could
like
watch.
They're going to sell this again, aren't they?
If you don't have an Amazon Prime membership, like you said, you could watch your team's Thursday night game on this app.
Yes,
that's worth $60 to an NFL fan.
Well, you don't even have to do it.
That's
$60
for
you could pay the $5 this month when your team's on Amazon Prime. Scrap it.
Yeah,
get it again
but I think you know they know purchasing habits, and people tend to
recurring price.
Yeah. They don't. Don't even work to unsubscribe because it's just coming at $4.99 comes out every month. You don't think about it.
Yeah, that's primarily probably it. But I think they could do so much better if you got some NFL Network stuff, and if you got some Red Zone stuff, people would pay $15.
I think they're going to see how many subscribers they get, and this is smart. See how many subscribers you can get based off of what we just talked about. Those fans of teams on Thursday night that don't have Amazon Prime that want to see their in-market game, see how much money you make off that, and if it's a good number, then you start adding content to see if you can get more. So it's a soft opening, like a restaurant
NFL
soft opening.
NFL is not a soft opening kind of company to me. So I'm a little disappointed. I don't care. I don't need it. But
yeah, I know.
I think you'd want think NFL app. Ooh, big splashy.
Well,
new
a payment service.
Yes.
Yeah.
A streaming service.
I tend to think they didn't get what they wanted whenever Verizon was out.
Yes.
And they'll...
This is the best they could do in the meantime.
Yeah, so they're holding... They've got this available for someone to come in and then purchase... Not purchase, but pay for the rights to then distribute.
Take over, and then
right?
find a partner for that.
I don't know. Maybe... to me, the value with Verizon, instead of starting this when they did, when they could have, they allowed Verizon to do it. So I think if the owners are looking to make the money for that, they're just trying to keep it going right now. They're agreeing to pay to keep it going right now.
I don't see why paying as much as I do to Comcast, I should be able to watch my Comcast on my iPad wherever the hell I damn well please.
I agree. Like wherever we are.
Yeah. Whether I'm on the road, whether I'm at Nissan Stadium,
all these regulators,
Wi-Fi.
It is incredible that they can still, wasn't it? I remember Richard Nixon had something with the antitrust part of the monopoly of not watching in-market games.
Yeah,
you know, and that was blown up by the court system where you had to do it. That still seems like the last bastion of you're paying for a service, but yet the NFL can tell you you can't watch it on that digital service in market
outside of your home.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the last stronghold that you could have with that.
The rules are set up to almost force you to illegally stream it.
Yeah.
Instead of just paying
unless
to
you double
stream
pay it.
Instead of paying to stream it in my market.
Oh, you're telling me I can't watch it? I'll just go to the dark web now.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I'll have a buddy of mine try to search this out for me and send me the link.
I'll also find some endangered ostrich meat on here while I'm there, while I'm doing some shopping.
What was that movie with Marlon Brando?
Do you have any orca well that I can get for a cookout I'm having this weekend?
You're our movie guy. I'll be Dennis Leary. What was that movie with Marlon
Condor
Brando?
Condor eggs.
About eating, it was a club that ate like endangered animals. There was some kind of big lizard in it.
Go ahead, Chad. What was that?
Yeah.
Oh, that
you
was
liked
the
Philomena, did you?
Was it?
No, I haven't seen that.
No, oh gosh.
What else is Paul Cotton?
It was a very late Brando movie, right? It's like the last one he did.
Maybe, very late.
Yeah,
it's a good film.
I'm gonna find it. It's Val Kilmer was in it.
Yeah.
Paul,
it's got
I have
a lot of details except for the name.
Question for you: Aroldis Chapman has been placed on the injured list.
Yeah, the injured / sucking list.
Okay, with Achilles tendonitis, I think is the. The injury. Am I looking too hard to think, well, this guy has sucked and he's allowed at least one base runner on average over the last several outings on the mound. And I'm not saying that he may indeed have Achilles tendonitis, but this also gives the Yankees an easy way. And I wonder how many teams actually go about this in Major League Baseball, but elsewhere too. But the list itself allows you to do it easier in baseball. Go away for a few days off the actual roster, and then you get a look at someone without, for lack of a better way to explain this, hurt the feelings of the veteran who has been benched.
Well, I'm all for hurting his feelings. He needs his
feelings. Yeah, but you know that teams don't do that.
Clay Holmes is perfectly suited to be their closer. Chapman's been horrible. He goes through a phase like this every season. Seems to be more frequent. He trips really massive amounts of sweat when he's going good. And lately hasn't been sweating to the proper degree. So one way that you know.
Chad wishes he's not he had
going
that gift.
Well. Yeah, that's what a blessing.
Like, he's a fountain. When he's going good, Hutton, he's a fountain.
I'm a fountain when I'm going good or bad.
When he's not going well, he is not a fountain. I mean,
he needs to talk to Treylon Burks about sweating. He'll help him out with that.
Maybe I'm naive. I believe that something was up with his Achilles and they were taking their time, unfortunately. I don't know to what degree the league monitors how much a guy has a legitimate injury in order to go on the IL. But for his sake, I hope there's something physically wrong with him and it's not just a mental deal. But I'd be fine with him throwing the eighth or the seventh for a while until he gets his mojo back.
It's been an odd handful of years, you know, even some postseason just breakdowns.
Well, look, you get spoiled with Rivera. Yeah,
but
whoever was next.
But we've seen Chapman do it.
He's been dominant at times.
But I guess we can say that for a lot of pitchers.
It comes and goes for him. I'm ready.
I just saw this headline based on our conversation.
I'm ready for young and cheap.
This guy hasn't been good.
Role.
Young and cheap.
Yeah. young and cheap in that role. Holmes would be just fine by me. And put him on the 60-day, never mind the 14 or 15-day.
Jimmy Garoppolo is still expected to be traded. That's not a report from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport. That is a quote from his head coach, who is at OTA speaking to the media and is, of course, asked about this. And he goes, yeah, I still believe Jimmy's going to be traded. And he mentions the shoulder. Jimmy G is scheduled, if everything's on schedule, he's scheduled to throw again, be back to throwing the football at the end of next month, early July, which puts him on pace to potentially be able to show something around mandatory minicamp. But again, that's next month if he's ahead of schedule. If not, the 14 to 16 week recovery process puts him on pace for early July, which means you could show something and prove it to another team that's willing to make that trade. And then he's there for training camp.
It's a tough timetable. But, I mean, who are the obvious teams in need? Seattle's in your division.
Right.
They seem to be talking about being content. Carolina is the team that doesn't have a sure thing. Darnold, terrible. Corral, who I keep calling Castle, you don't know. But you just invested in him. You're going to want to have a look. Fourth rounder. Those are the two most obvious places. After that, I think you're better off waiting till somebody gets hurt and is in need. You get a better return at that point.
He's a great backup option for someone. You know, that's the other part of it.
The problem, though, is he's due $24 million.
Yeah, that's not good backup quarterback money.
No. And your starter has to be real.
And you've also got everyone saying, I expect him to be traded. So the leverage is small.
Yeah.
Leverage is small.
Why would you give up anything and take on any bit of that salary and not just force the 49ers, if you were interested in them, to cut them?
Well, do you pay 14 and trade them to offload 10? Because they're in pretty good cap shape with them.
I don't know, man.
It's his last year, right?
It is. I'm fine spending other people's money. So I'll say if you're willing to pay him 14 and you're on good terms with him, just keep him as your backup. But to me,
I don't disagree with that because we're not hearing good things about Trey Lance.
This is Shanahan telling us that he's on board with moving forward with Trey Lance now.
Sure sounds that way.
Because here's the quote. I expect him at some time most likely to be traded, but who knows? That's not a guarantee. It's been on hold when surgery happened. When he's healthy, we'll see what happens. Now, you don't just – and they've been very open about this whole process. But you don't just continue to answer it the same way if you feel like the second-year player is not ready to go. And I know there's really no way to know that externally, but if I'm a coach and I'm working with the guy that I vouched for and wanted to move up and draft, now's the time to start the clock, especially with what they gave up to move up to pick number three. It's different than Jordan Love and the Packers because of where they drafted him. Still a first-round pick, don't get me wrong, but they did not give up multiple future first-round selections in order to go get this guy.
No, and they also signed Nate Sudfeld to a pretty good contract, a backup-level contract. They like him. So, right now they're three deep at quarterback, and most teams don't have the opportunity to be three deep at quarterback come the regular season.
And, Chad, you said this about Baker, and I still agree with you. There will be a surprise team involved at some point, either – training camp or somewhere around that time, but we know the Browns have got to get – they've got to move on there. Same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. Surely there's been as much discussion as there's been, the 49ers are just going to cut him? I wouldn't expect that, but we do expect that with the Browns.
I keep throwing out the Giants as my example of a surprise team that could be looking for some competition slash – exit strategy for Daniel Jones.
How about the Lions?
With someone like a Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield.
How about the Lions? I just can't come to terms with the team thinking that Jared Goff.
I mean, I'd rather have if I'm
but
actually
they might
trying
be a year
to,
away from drafting.
Well, but if I'm actually trying to win more games this year, I'd rather have Baker Mayfield than Jared Goff, but I don't know that they're trying to do that.
Yeah. No.
Ultimately, right?
I agree.
If the goal was, I want to win as many football games as possible this year, Baker Mayfield is a better option.
I was talking more Garoppolo.
Garoppolo
for the Lions.
Garoppolo is a better option too. Either one.
But then you're left. I mean, you're just tied up with all this cash that you're giving to these guys that are not a part of any long-term future.
Right.
You know, so if you're going to lose and then invest in the future, just wait.
It's weird. Everybody is always quarterback desperate, and here are two guys that are
not available. Right? Not consistent. Goff is available. Garoppolo's only started half of the game since he showed up in San Francisco because he's hurt all the time,
but
and he's coming off an injury.
For as quarterback needy as the league generally is, for Mayfield and Garoppolo to be available, they are, you know, we'd rank them, what, 15th probably? So you're better than half the quarterbacks in the league, roughly. You can be had, and there's not a market.
Yeah,
it's somewhat crazy.
And it's all based on the money involved. Because if you're trading,
you're not buying into long term.
What's the price? And then Chad, are you going to load up and then re-sign? Because you got a year left. So if you're trading a draft pick, what's the real return on your investment if you're just trading for a backup where you don't even really know if you need your backup option right now?
But see,
because
other times
you're not moving forward with him as the starter. It's a weird situation for a lot of
teams. But other times we'd be saying, well, you don't want him because it's too long-term and you don't know if he's the answer. So if he was short-term, you could see him for a year and then decide. And then, now you have that, and we're saying, well, maybe if he was under contract longer, you'd be interested.
And you know what the weird thing is? The Houston Texans are never mentioned in any of these conversations. Right. You know, when we say teams that could use a backup option to compete, they are dead set on Davis Mills.
Yeah.
They don't even need Tyrod Taylor
there
again.
Teams are not wavering.
Tyrod Taylor's now in New York with the Giants.
Teams are not wavering from their determination, from their plan. So Houston decides, we're going to look at Mills, and it's either going to be his long term or we'll draft next year. Same with Detroit, I think, and Goff. Like, he can be better. Maybe he gets better. Or we'll draft next year. But a lot of guys have bought themselves time somehow in a league that usually is very quick to make the change.
What is the next big unintended consequence of name, image, likeness? I have one answer that immediately comes to mind. We'll bat it around, and I'm sure the discussion will lead to others. That's next on Outkick 360. Paul has done some research. He has the movie. Outkick 360 rolls on.
Ryan Albanese got to it before I did. The Freshman from 1990 with Marlon Brando and Matthew Broderick. Excellent film, Chad. You should see it. A film guy like you not having seen
that just shocks me.
What were you watching?
I am the first to tell you right now, I am not a film guy. I'm just not anymore. I don't watch movies. I watch shows.
Back then.
I watch a ton of shows.
Back then you were a film guy.
I was more of a film guy then, but I'm rarely pulled into something to actually watch the film. I will watch Top Gun Maverick Sunday night. I already purchased the tickets. By the way, that's 2 hours and 14 minutes. I think the original was like an hour and 42 minutes. This one's 2 hours and 14 minutes, but I'm looking forward to all 2 hours and 14
minutes.
Anything
worth doing is worth over.
We've waited long enough.
I want to see.
Don't trim it anymore.
I want to see this Operation Mincemeat that's on Netflix, which is the true story of a British operation to invade Italy during World War II.
You have me at British. All the British stuff is good.
It looks really good. It's got one of my favorite characters, Tom from Succession, is one of the stars of it. And it's got, Colin Firth is a big part of it. But it looks really good. It's a World War II movie.
We're watching Anatomy of a Scandal, though we've gotten slowed down on it, which is a Netflix show.
But there's
also British.
I say all that to say there's very few movies that I'm looking forward to
watching.
Well,
go watch this one.
Right,
put it on
now.
Your list.
So
The Freshman.
Paul, I like how you'll throw it out on social media sometimes. Who's got a good movie suggestion for me? Like people, normally now it's all shows. What should I start binging? But I like when you just have, hey, I've got 2 hours here tonight.
Right.
Let's watch something.
There, so
Teresa's going to be awake long enough right now. Come on, quick. Yeah.
Top Gun.
We got exactly an hour and 45 minutes.
And the final, I believe, it's the final installment of Jurassic Park, which comes out next month.
Laura Dern coming back.
I think all of them. This looks like
the all sides meet conclusion of the Jurassic Park story.
I think one of the lines is we know cannot coexist.
But we know that if it makes a ton of money, it's not over. They're going to do something else 3 years from now. Just watch.
And it will. But it's hard not to think of a film right now that could drop this summer and it not just make a ton. Because we are looking for a reason to be entertained now more than ever. with everything we've been waiting on, right?
But like, the stuff shows up so quickly at home. I mean, I'm going to watch them all at home. I get no thrill out of going to the movies anymore because people can't shut up.
Well, there are only a handful that I tend to agree.
Yeah.
There are only a handful that I feel like the two I just said, I've got to go see those in
Jurassic
theater.
Park would be better in theater, but in an empty theater.
Yes.
See, it's funny.
Well, rent
though,
it out.
Like, I do think that a lot of times I'd agree with you, Paul. I understand people who don't like, you know, movie theater etiquette from people. But Tom Cruise talked about the reasoning behind never coming back and, you know, basically saying, I'm not going to stream this thing. Paramount Plus wanted to stream it. Other services wanted to stream it the whole time. And he said, we're not going to do that because this has to be a shared experience movie, right? This needs to be a bunch of people in a room reliving something from when they were younger, or a dad bringing his son to the movie for the first time. It's more of a shared experience thing. I believe that with Top Gun.
It's not a rock concert, Chief.
Oh,
it
is. This will be.
It's absolutely a rock concert.
Yeah, this one will
be. It's the same emotion that it inspires. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not the same thing.
I like a lot of movies, but the movie theater experience is not a rock concert experience.
It is to a lot of people.
You're not talking to the person next to you. You're not singing along with
them. If it evokes, you're laughing to the same jokes. You're getting excited. People are cheering when the Avengers show up on screen.
Right.
It's absolutely
the
same thing.
Phone light is on. They're talking on the phone. They're texting.
Oh, well, phone lights are on during a concert?
No, but a concert.
People don't talk during a concert?
No, but that's part of a concert. It's not part of a movie. But everybody does it. Now, the baby is in a carrier next to them for some reason crying.
No, it's absolutely the same thing.
You've got to reserve your seat.
It is a communal
the one next to you.
Rock concert type thing for a very small amount of movies. I'm not saying all movies are like that. I'm saying for Top Gun Maverick, for the, you know, Marvel geeks that want to go to every single movie, it's going to be the same type of experience. You go on opening night and you get that sensation.
You let me know how that goes. It'll be streaming in a week or two.
Now, the crew I'm with, it's not going to be that way. If I went with my boys from high school, we might get a little, danger zone. Here we go. You
know, Chad's taking his shirt off.
I've got my shirt over my head. We're playing volleyball in the theater.
All right, so the one thing I'm curious about with the new Top Gun is it going to be nearly as hot on these aircraft carriers where in every scene these dudes are just sweating like they're in a sweat box, like they're in hot yoga, and it's like
because he wants that.
No, it's annoying. Man.
There's beads of sweat in every scene when they're on the aircraft carrier.
It's annoying.
Sweating, watching these dudes sweat.
It's a movie that will make you perspire, that's for sure, when you watch it. I mean, Maverick, Pete Mitchell, did need a shower when he went to Charlie's house, if you remember. And she said, no, you may not. May I take a shower right when he got there for a day? You may not. Dinner's ready, is what she said. But I love that move. Walks into the woman's house
like
the first time. Walks into the first time and says, may I take a shower? Paul, this is my Shakespeare.
May I take a shower? That's such a memorable line.
It's a great line.
He could quote the whole film.
I can.
The unintended consequences of name, image, likeness. We could do a series on this, honestly. We bring one every day, and then eventually we're going to be right. But the one I thought of is the money that goes into these schools that will now be going to the players from the donors. So you've got the collectives who are going out and rounding up the cash, right? Donations. Maybe you have the local business owner who had a suite at the stadium who instead is now going to use that money to invest in the collective that's going to pay the player to come to the school. So are we about to, you know, and maybe we don't see it initially, are we about to get to a point where around the curve we have universities who look at their bottom dollar and it's less, even though they're recruiting at a much higher level, because those same donations aren't coming in on an annual, semi-annual, monthly, whatever their giving is. It's not nearly the same because their university tithe is going to the star quarterback.
I was thinking about that from the perspective of capital improvements. So what we've seen going on at Tennessee now, say, with the renovations to the stadium,
that's a good one.
Are you financing that in a similar fashion if the incoming money is incoming more to the collective?
If more of the
money's
going to the collective than the school, yeah, that's a big part of it. And to tie all that in, I think attendance also. If you're going to say, hey, you can spend $7,000 a year on tickets and travel to a game, Or I can give $7,000 a year to this guy that's a safety at a local high school through a collective.
Right.
That's going to help me experience more wins and have more fun in the fall. People may sacrifice paying for tickets to pay to a collective or to for NIL, and you're going to have less people attending games. The one that the unintended consequence that I thought was going to happen that has not yet, that I've talked about from the beginning of this, was when someone starts to do something that the university and the program disapproves of with NIL, OnlyFans sponsorship, sports wagering for some may be a problem.
Or the beer sponsor that's the opposite of whatever's in the stadium.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah, or just a hard liquor, you know, that's not sold in the stadium, if beer's sold in the stadium.
Yeah.
A lot of things that a coach could come back and say, yeah, I don't want you doing that. You know, I brought up the example of, what about the one women's volleyball player who decides to monetize an OnlyFans account and then gets kicked out of school for doing so, or gets kicked off the program for doing so, and then sues the university because all she was doing was exercising her name, image, and likeness, and just because she's more popular, because she's a popular athlete at the school and has more money coming in that way, who is the school to say you can't do that and stay on campus if the Supreme Court says that she can? Same for a guy. I mean, it doesn't have to be a woman, but you see my point. That was the unintended consequence I thought we'd eventually see that we have not yet. I'm thankful for that, but we haven't seen it so far.
I think that's, well, I mean, that's very interesting idea about a coach disapproving of something the player's doing. Previously, that coach, I like it from this degree because previously that coach is the emperor, and this takes away some of the emperor's power.
They still are. They still are. They're still the highest paid player, the state employees in their entire
right,
state.
But he may not, he or she may not be able to tell this athlete not to do something.
Well, here's another one, and this
they can still run for governor and be the governor.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Well, speaking of running for governor, here's another one that's happening right now. This is a story at Outkick.com, where the quarterback at UT Martin has decided to take NIL money from someone running for office locally that they're family friends with. Okay. Let's say the head coach is vehemently against the person you're endorsing through NIL, and you get benched because of it, and then you come back and claim, I'm being discriminated against
for my
because I'm a Republican and he's a Democrat, or I'm a Democrat and he's a Republican, or I'm getting protests outside my dorm because the senator that I'm endorsing won't sponsor gun control bills after what took place yesterday. Another unintended consequence, right? This is the first of its kind. This is a political candidate spending money with a college quarterback for that quarterback to endorse them on the trail. So what happens when someone, obviously, you know, half of America is going to be against whoever you endorse politically. So what happens when that comes about more often? What happens when a big time, not UT Martin's quarterback, with all due respect to the Skyhawks,
right,
when it's not UT Martin's quarterback, you know, getting NIL from some local election, when it's someone getting NIL for the senator, the congressman, or a president?
How much difference is UT Martin's quarterback going to make in a local election?
Well, it's a family connection.
It's a kid. I think we had his state championship game. It's Dresser Wynn, who played like at a small school in West Tennessee in a smaller classification. That's sort of a local hero. So he's endorsing a guy who I think is running for district attorney of that county.
It's all local.
Yeah, you know, it's all very local, yeah. He went to UT Martin
pretty
close
local.
By.
Yeah,
it's pretty local. Pretty local.
Very local.
I mean, it's like a newspaper ad with him, you know, pointing to I haven't seen it. I'm just saying, like, I could see a local town running an ad with the quarterback at the college that's in town.
Yeah. You that's know. A weird one, the political endorsement one.
Look, I bring this discussion up as, again, we could run this all summer, because there are a lot of media members, fans, coaches, players who aren't really diving into this. They're getting, you know, a meal instead of a car, that are saying, man, it is the wild, wild west. And I think, man, we are just getting started. I think we'll look back on this and think it was pretty tame in 2022, all things considered.
Broadly.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen crazy with this.
Well, so Lane Kiffin today, an interview was released with him with Sports Illustrated that we can get into a lot more tomorrow, because it's going to take some time to dissect everything he said.
He spoke?
But to a lot of people.
He was allowed to speak?
Yeah, apparently Greg Sankey lifted the gag order. He said, you know what, you don't talk about Jimbo and Nick Saban, you'll be fine. But he's become the de facto voice of reason for a lot of people on NIL and saying everything. I mean, he's saying, I don't blame the kid that's not from any money, that just takes the most money and doesn't consider any other factors. But he also says, we are professional sports now. However you want to stack it.
And he says, good luck getting every penny that you think you're getting.
We are professional sports. He said that before on signing day. But he's also saying, you know, this is hurting the competition. Because he said, what you're going to have is there's about 10 schools operating at one level. There's about 12 more operating at a second level. And then everyone else is at the same level, which is basically nothing, outside of about 22 yep. programs. And he said, so give it 2 years and see who has all the talent. Now, I could come back and argue.
How different is that than what it is
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I mean, I see the same five teams in contention every year right now anyways. So what difference does that make? Oh, goody, there's going to be 15 teams now every year. They're in the top 15. It's not going to change much.
Are stadium improvements and locker room upgrades going to matter anymore if the money's going to the player and they're going to the school based on that?
Well,
if it's more like NFL free agency, those dudes never step foot in those
facilities. It's a tiebreaker. You know, I think what it could be is, well, we still have to – I just saw $88 million worth of improvements to Georgia's facilities are coming to their football complex. They announced today. It's – if I'm getting paid very, very similar by two or three schools, maybe that helps me go to this one school over the other. But no, I mean, that's not going to be the deciding factor over money for most players.
That's been the biggest difference in a free agent choosing, other than the payment, I'm saying, choosing where to go across the NFL versus choosing where to go in college, are these official visits. These NFL free agents don't even look at the things around them.
But they don't any longer.
Yeah. He don't go for a tour. And
the second tier ones do. But
they're there just for the workout or to meet the coach, yeah. Right? It's I think it's more or less that.
That's a job interview.
To sign their contract, which is what, what this is also going to be in college now. Hit us up on Twitter at Outkick360. Coming up, we'll wrap up the show, look ahead to some games tonight. And much more. Maybe we'll hit the arcade a little bit here while we renovate the studio, the main studio here in the arcade at 6th and Peabody. We've got Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam.
I want to go Golden Tee, but it looks like it's been unplugged.
We can.
That might have
we'll
been
plug
from my cell phone charger. Yesterday.
Yeah, Paul's charging his phone.
Today I'm not charging.
We'll remove this. The final segment will just be us playing Golden Tee, not talking about anything, just the sounds. Ambient noise of the rollerball spinning.
Hey, don't knock it. Some of that's huge.
This is Outkick 360. There is something that is just nearly always a guarantee. Outkick 360 rolls on across the Outkick network. And, Paul, you hinted at this yesterday. If a team leads 3-0 in the NBA, they're then going to lead 3-1 in the series. The Warriors had the shot at the sweep last night, and the Mavs not only won, they won easily. The Mavs were favored in Vegas going into the game of a series where they trailed 0-3.
I regret not betting it.
I wanted to go bet Dallas, and they were the favorite, and the return wasn't good enough. It's like Paul on blackjack.
Well, and I doesn't it feel, though, like this is a new phenomenon where years past, if you're down 0-3, you're always going to be the underdog?
Screwed, yeah.
Because it's just, it's over, so we give up. We concede.
Those
it's always portrayed as the last-ditch effort of the losing team.
Yeah,
right?
But I
and
also
that the winning team relaxes a little bit.
Yeah, but if you lose without, like, literally throwing in the towel and getting crushed by 40, you know, 30 or 40, which happens in this league right now, no matter if you're, you know, throwing in the towel or not, it could be game two. But if you lose, it's like, well, didn't really want to travel back to San Francisco anyway. Let's just go to the off season. You know, if you're Dallas.
Right.
Now you're going back on the road trip where it is presumed they win, and I would bet Golden State to finish the series.
I would too.
In game five. But it is remarkable how often in a 3-0 series we see the extension of that.
It's very predictable, I feel like.
It's crazy. But again, I don't feel like this has always been the case. I feel like this is sort of new, especially with the favorites that I saw. I was surprised to see Dallas favored in the game, honestly. I thought we'd see Golden State favored.
And the Mavs are now 3-0 in elimination games this season. You know, there you go. They, they have a way of playing under pressure, I guess.
Yeah. Good. More power to them.
best players for the Mavs showed up last night, and you know, this will be a similar situation for Golden State. Their top players will show up and play well.
Paul, have you taken to being a New York Rangers fan during
this
NHL?
How about my Rangers?
This playoffs? I'm curious how that works. Were you ever
no.
a Rangers fan?
Honestly,
no.
I rooted for both the Rangers and the Devils. And to
just
be honest,
which one was
I sound terrible, but initially I root for the Islanders. When we moved to New Jersey, the Yankees and the Islanders were on the same radio station. And I think I've told you guys I grew up going to bed to the Yankees on the radio.
Yeah.
When Yankee season ended.
And then
ended,
the schmoozer would come on afterwards.
Yeah, right. And when the Yankees finished their season, I just kept the same radio station on going to bed. And the Islanders were on, and these were Mike Bossy's Islanders that were winning the four in a row. And so I had a little bit of affinity for them, but they were far away. You know, that wasn't like I could say, hey, Dad, why don't you take me to an Islanders game? That would be an unreasonable request. And so I had no real affinity for hockey except off of having it on my radio. And then I only got into Islanders Devils really when they started to get good and it was something to do. And then I was at the Times. I got to cover a little bit, but I got to cover the Devils more. I didn't get to cover the primary team. I got to cover the secondary team, so I was more familiar.
What's the commute like to go to a Devils game if you're in New York?
Well, when the Devils were at the Meadowlands, from New York, you wouldn't go. You'd go to the Garden. But
yeah.
From New Jersey, where I lived, it was easier to drive to the Meadowlands than
now
to get
in
on
Newark,
a train.
Right?
Now they're in Newark. Now it would be easier from where I grew up to go to Newark, closer than the Meadowlands, even.
Final note, the Louisville Cardinals, they pulled a move that Calipari, I think, would appreciate but hate at the same time. So Kenny Payne, his staff, has hired the grandfather of DJ Wagner, who is linked, has long been linked to John Calipari in Kentucky. And now the top recruit is going to be linked to Louisville based on this.
This should be
from a guy who coached with Calipari.
Pulling his own stunt on him. It should be not allowed to hire relatives, period.
I mean, I just don't know how you make that rule, though. Right?
Like there it is. I just made.
I mean, I guess you can make arbitrary rules in the NCAA all over the place, so why not one more?
Well, how's that arbitrary? It can't hire a recruit's relative as part of recruiting.
But what if, I mean, what if the recruit's relative is a great coach that's got a track record?
Come on.
I mean, you're stopping.
It's going to be a high school coach. It's not going to be a college coach.
Chad, who are you recruiting on your staff next year for the Red Sox softball team?
I got a couple of possible assistant coaches out there that I need to talk to, all right? That looked pretty good on the field last night for the Rockies. get it.
Easy rule.
Back at it tomorrow where we will have Armando Salguero on the show. Trey Wallace will have the latest on the SEC. We'll get into scheduling with Trey and the pod system, what's being discussed, what has been mentioned that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There are flaws with all these schedules and ideas of how they're going to put together the future of the SEC.
A lot of it's confusing.
But it's also very intriguing because we'll finally see some of the matchups we've been craving instead of the same monotonous matchups year
some
after year.
Some good matchups also will go away.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair, and that's something we have to weigh. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. Hit us up on social media. In the meantime, at Outkick360.
Don't have accidents. Don't block the box and do lock your lock.